This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back for hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. It's a Thursday. We're a half hour away from Sigmund Bloom time. You guys are doing great, participating in an orderly fashion, getting your fantasy football questions lined up. So you have questions, we have answers. That's a good thing. Barry kicked ass last night as the headliner in his comedy show, so he's in a good mood as he's contributing today, which is fantastic. And Tyler continues to be stellar filling in for Nick.
Doing a fantastic job.
No
even
question.
Though you don't have to, yeah.
You don't have to take that from him, Taylor.
Well, I definitely dumped you.
Why?
Because you used the term.
Yeah,
you can say that.
No, you can say.
They say it on the Blitz all the time.
Yeah, dick weed.
Oh, well, whatever.
Well, that's what you mean. Better to investigate those things before you let them fly.
I've been saying that on the radio for months now.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, it's all right.
I don't know.
If it makes you feel better, you just dumped it because I was taking a shot at you. I was attacking you.
Yeah, so now it's like it never even happened.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool.
People are just like, what happened? I don't understand.
You can hear it on maybe the on podcast.
Yeah, it'll definitely be on the stream or the podcast. Clint Degg on Twitter said he's a Cowboys fan and an Astros Rockets fan. So I guess that's, you know, you can be both. I don't have a problem with it. I used to think, oh, no, you got to choose sides. The older I get, the less I care. Root for whoever you want to root for. You just don't act like an a-hole all the time. You know what I mean?
Here's my question on that, having been through it this last weekend. It's like you love your team if you're a fan of that team.
We love our Astros in Houston.
Right.
And all across the Lone Star State. Sorry.
Sure. So if you go on the road, right, do you identify, do you try and go incognito so that you don't take any grief? Or do you show your support no matter what? I mean, obviously, we know there's going to be some people that are going to go just completely balls out crazy with their
shirt,
their jersey,
full-blown
jerseys and things like that. Now, I told you Sunday, I wore just a green dry fit T-shirt with the Packer logo on it,
right?
I already knew how Dallas fans were, and I wasn't trying to stir the pot. But also, I'm going to support my team if that's what I'm. That's why the only reason I'm in Dallas, I'm going to see the game. It's a weird dynamic because in certain places, people are welcoming. It's cool. Hey, I get it. That's your team. Like you just said, go for it. And in other places, Oakland being one of them, Dallas being another one, the fans aren't as gracious, and they look at it as an invitation to start some crap.
Well, I can't really speak to it because I don't wear a lot of gear for teams that I support. I think I grew out of it. Not saying that you can't, but I'm just saying like my taste grew out of it. You know what I mean? I stopped wearing sports stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe it's when I lost weight because then I didn't need to wear a jersey anymore to hide all my fat. I don't know. But I've worn an Astros shirt. I have a couple of different Jose Cruz and the old Astros shirt. I've got a new one. So I'll wear some of those. I have a Texans shirt. I have a Rocket shirt, but I don't have a lot of it and I probably wouldn't wear it to a game. But if 15 years ago when I was wearing jerseys and a lot of that stuff, it wouldn't have stopped me. I would have worn it to, because that's my team. And I mean, if you're going to fight me over that, well, then I guess we're going to fight. But I would not do it.
I pretty much came prepared with lines in my back pocket, and I waited till they popped off, and then I made them feel stupid with the comebacks, and then they went away. And then obviously the end result is if your team wins, then they have nothing else to say.
That's it.
But it's just, it's really difficult depending, I guess it depends on the venue. Let me say that.
Yeah.
It depends on the venue.
Yeah. Like you said, you go into Oakland and...
Boy.
Man, you might catch a stabbing.
And we've seen it. I mean, you know, you think about it. You go back to the whole Giants-Dodgers thing where that got completely way too far with the guy that got suffered brain damage and everything in that fight in the parking lot. But you look at Texans, Cowboys, preseason game, and there's flat-out brawls all over the place in the parking lot.
Yeah. You mentioned the black hole. Don't go into Oakland and think you're going to get away with that, especially if they're losing. Their fans tried to take on their own team's offensive lineman because they weren't happy with the way he played and threw stuff at his car just so they could get him to try and hit them so they could sue him.
It's crazy.
Milwaukee's a good place if you're a visitor.
Milwaukee and Green Bay.
We were wearing a bunch of Texans gear. Or not Texans, Astros gear at a Brewers game. And aside from like one really drunk guy who took
there's always gonna be
to
one in every
Astros
crowd.
Flag.
Right.
That kind of got us riled up a little bit. But for the most part, everybody kind of chilled out.
And I don't say this because I'm a homer. But I will say this.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard from, I've told you guys this before, from Redskins fans, Seahawks fans. The fans that go to Lambeau that I know have come back and said, oh, my God, I was expecting the exact opposite. People asked us to tailgate with them. You know, they complimented the team. They, you know, they wished us good luck. We talked to them throughout the game. There wasn't that animosity. I've been to enough stadiums on the road, too, where I could say, like, San Diego, they're really cool. They were laid back. They were chill.
Phoenix is really cool, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it just really depends on the visiting team. Like, I went to go see the Texans there a few years back, and most everybody was really cool.
Yeah, but, I mean, and then there's others at the other end of the spectrum, and I've already named a couple of them. But you go into that environment, and you already know going in, it's going to be on. They're just, you got to be like, hyper head on a swivel, because it's going to be coming in all different forms from all different directions.
Yeah. Yeah, people can get crazy. It's like somebody said, oh, well, this is Jeff from Grangeland. He said, he goes, you know, all out, H-Town all the way, doesn't matter what, when, where, he's going to do his thing. And that's fine, I respect that, but there are places where you go where you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm not rolling up in Oakland. I'm not going, even in the Bronx, like, man.
I was at a Yankee game.
You rock a Red Sox jersey in the Bronx, you're going to catch some heat.
And not
it
just,
doesn't matter.
Like, so I was at a Yankee game, we were there for business, and I'd got some seats. And we were sitting in a section. They were playing the Rays, and the Rays were their division rival, and the Rays were good that year. And the guy, for the first three innings, the Rays were winning. And he kept looking at the whole stadium and pointing to his jersey and laughing and making a scene. And all of a sudden, guy's there with a date. And all of a sudden, he goes, bro, do it one more time. I'm going to my car. I'm getting my gun. I'm coming back, and it's on. Wow. And the guy was starting to laugh. And he's like, see if it's funny when I come back.
Good
and then
Lord.
A half inning later, he started talking, the whole section started talking. And you know how the Yankees have their mock chants?
Yeah.
Like, you know, let's go Yankees. But it was sit down, a-hole. and they just kept, and they kept pointing at him, and it got worse. And then the Yankees made a comeback. And it's like, yeah, there's certain spots.
Nope.
Yeah, you got to be careful about that stuff.
A couple more text things. Bregman has to be back in the two-hole, right? That was AJ's only bad decision. No, AJ's bad decision was bringing in Verlander. Where he hit Bregman, I had no problem with. You can't really argue with the way that the offense performed and how it went. I don't think you can argue with that lineup at all.
Well, you can argue with Lariano.
That was another bad decision.
Yeah.
Adding him to the roster
yes,
was a bad decision.
That might have been one, too.
Is it worse to strike out swinging or looking? Looking.
I think looking is
always wrong. Looking.
Yeah.
Always looking.
Lack of aggressiveness.
Yeah. Hey, Barry. Houston fan. I don't know why Barry was all caps. Houston fan hates Dallas fan because they're a-holes about their sports. Less hate to actual team. I don't know if that's true. Lamont said it best, I feel like. Lamont said it's not the native Dallas person that's the a-hole. It's the ones that live in Houston that love Dallas.
Transplanted
Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like the guy that was born in Houston and never liked the Oilers, but always, you know, loved the Cowboys when they were winning, and now just is the Cowboys. Like, I would agree with that. It's a lot of times it's not the folks that are born and raised and live in Dallas. It's the
nationwide fans.
Yeah.
As I responded to him,
totally
I said,
agree with
it's
that.
The nationwide fans that jump on the bandwagon and figure, like, mm-hmm. I had so much lost time when I wasn't rooting for this team. I'm going to make up for it now by being a little over the top.
Yeah.
And that just gets out of hand in a hurry.
And I don't
have, like, I have a bunch of friends from San Antonio, and they all like the Cowboys because, or they grew up in El Paso, then moved to San Antonio.
Right.
But they all liked the Cowboys because that was the only team in Texas at one point.
That was when the Oilers were away. Right.
And I don't understand this question from Steelers fan Juan. Is it possible not to be a-holes if you are being funny? I don't know what that means. Can you be funny without being a jerk?
Maybe you're taking cracks at the people trying to be funny, but you don't mean it seriously. You're just trying to be funny.
I don't know. Yeah, you can be funny without being a jerk. Like, I mean, without being an a-hole.
You're still working on it.
I've never done it before, but
it's worth a shot.
I hear it's possible.
Yeah, it is possible. Hey, right away, we're going to be back with more, but I want to remind you, too, the number 24-ranked Rice women's soccer team playing MTSU Friday, October the 13th, Holloway Field, 7 p.m., best conference start in school history for Rice soccer. Fans can win prizes all game long with a new Spin It to Win It game. First 300 fans receive a free water bottle courtesy of Houston Methodist. Check it out, Rice women's soccer. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on another spirited edition of the Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on, again, a reminder, Sigmund Bloom, 230, fantasy football extraordinaire, answering all your questions. So please get them to us via text or tweet so that we can get them in an orderly fashion and rapid fire with Siggy.
Yeah, the text line is, I have a feeling if you didn't get them in already, you're not going to get your question answered because there's already about 30 people in front of you. And there's no way we're going to get through all of those, plus any calls that come in. By the way, if you want to ask Sigmund Bloom a question on the phone line, go ahead and call now, 713-780-3776. Get online, get on hold. He'll be here at 2:30. That's what, 10 minutes away?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to want to go ahead and get in now because we always go to the callers first before the text lines and the tweets. So go ahead and get on the phone if you want to get your questions in, and you'll know it'll get answered because we'll get to those first, 713-780-3776. But, yeah, lots of response already. So we go in order in which they were received.
Yep.
So good stuff there. There was one more.
While you find it, we had a tweet. Quit with all your Cowboys talk. I don't talk trash to opposing fans for no reason. I don't group all Texan fans in a negative light based on a few. I've had plenty of trash talk from Texans fans in Houston for simply wearing a Cowboys hat or tee. Unprovoked, just minding my own business in a retail store. That's what we're saying. Personal experiences across the country, these are the things that happen. And in certain places, they happen more than others. Certain people, it can be unprovoked, unsolicited, and people are just going to go for the throat because of the fact that you're wearing colors. Other times, people are going to be cool. But like I said, there's one in every bunch. Just like some of the stories we were talking about when Tyler was talking about, you know, even in Milwaukee with the Astros flag, drunk guys more likely than others. But people are looking for a fight, and if you're the home team and your team is losing and you've been drinking, pretty much the percentages go up a lot.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I really don't. Like, I don't have any vitriol or real hate or animosity. I used to, you know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I hated the Cowboys. But it was because, like, my cousins loved the Cowboys and the Oilers always sucked and the Cowboys didn't. And that's where that came from. But it wasn't like I wanted to fight my cousins or any Cowboys fan. It was just like, oh, y'all are obnoxious. You know what I mean? I don't understand where the actual threats of physical violence come into play because someone doesn't root for the same team you do or their rivals. It just seems like idiotic and childish. But the key is, you said, when alcohol gets involved, that's when it escalates and people become idiots.
And when your team starts losing.
Even when they're losing, just take it, dude. Like, that big deal.
But that, I'm just saying.
Yeah, if you're upset that they're losing, like, maybe just
if you
leave.
Can't take getting harassed by another team, like, joke messing with you,
yeah,
you maybe shouldn't you shouldn't be going to games at an opposing, you know, stadium. Like, maybe just stay in the comfort of your own peoples if you can't take it. It just seems silly to me. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to happen. But like we said, the ones that are where you just have to be on red alert, Oakland. Look, Rams, I mean, in L.A. lately, Niners fans, you go to YouTube, the fan videos, It's the Rams fans, the Niners fans, the Raiders fans. They're going, I mean, and they are going till the death.
You definitely don't have to worry about the Chargers, though, because that whole stadium is going to be filled with your people if you're a traveling fan anyway.
First of all, you just used an oxymoron because you said that whole stadium is going to be filled. It's a soccer stadium, and they can't get 20,000 people
there. No, they had 28,000 people there whenever they played the Eagles, and
mostly
I would
Eagles
say
fans.
It was like 15,000, at least 15, maybe 20 Eagles fans.
Their capacity's like 29.9, and the only reason they got close was because all the Eagles fans.
Exactly.
Lately, for every game traveling in a soccer stadium, they've averaged like 23,000 fans. I think in two of the games, USC had a home game the night before.
Yeah, it was the two college games had more than, or no, the one college game.
One USC football game outdrew both NFL teams playing at home the next day combined.
Yeah, exactly.
That's telling you something about how much LA wanted all those teams and how they're going to support them.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Chargers won't even let in their fan mascot guy, Mr. Bolt or whatever.
It's like they had to force, we need these teams in LA, and then LA's like, we don't care.
And it got so bad that people started asking a week ago, could the Chargers go back to San Diego? And the NFL late. Had to come out and say, no, that's not a possibility anymore.
Jeez.
And then Spanos, their owner, who we were talking about in terms of cheap owners too, supposedly he hasn't paid his rent. So they got an airplane flying around over the game going, hey, worst owner in NFL, Dean Spanos, might want to pay your rent.
I heard ESPN show talking about that. They had the guy, I think they had him on, but he basically told them, he was like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing it as long as they're here. I'm going to have a different message every week.
Yeah, and other guys are buying billboards around the stadium too with negative messages. But the thing is,
paying his rent where? On the stadium?
On the stadium.
Okay. I thought you meant at his house.
No, he's loaded.
I'm like, what?
But the other thing was that the Chargers tried
a bag
to
of cash and brought his own house.
The Chargers tried to get a no-fly zone and say that he couldn't fly over the stadium anymore.
No, can't
and
do
there
that.
Was some
and
loophole.
It's because they have less than 35,000
yes,
people
what it was.
In the stadium.
Yep.
If they had anything more than that, then they couldn't register it as a no-fly zone.
Yep.
But
and
they
couldn't do it, so the guy gets the right
the
to keep flying over and taking shots at the owner every home game. Isn't life grand?
That's great.
All right, so we've got, speaking of football, Sigmund Bloom right around the corner. We're about at the midway point. So Barry right now is in the process of trying to put some kind of order to all of this to make sure that we keep it in a neat and orderly fashion and roll through as many questions as possible. It's not too late, however. If you do want to still get some in, we're going to get them in for you and do our best. 713-780-3776. You can text, you can call, or you can tweet. And right now you can call because now that we're getting up on it, we will take some calls and work them in for this next segment. So if you want to call, now would be the time. Back with a whole lot more at the halftime break. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Tyler for Nick, but Barry and I are here as we're coming out of the tunnel for the second half of the show. 90 in the rearview mirror, 90 in the windshield still to go as we continue to roll on. And like we do every Thursday, we try to give back to you, the listener. And with that, we mean you guys are all fantasy football players. We have a fantasy football expert like no other. So we bring Sigmund Bloom to you so that he can give answers that you need to try and make a better decision on your fantasy team than the decisions that you make when you've been drinking and don't look at the internet. So with that being said, Sigmund is here. Barry, I love when you do the honors. Introduce the man, the myth, the legend.
Sigmund, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, and, you know, I'll just have to pass on with the rest of the decent world, hoping to see the Astros vanquish the Yankees.
Good man, good man. You a baseball fan?
A Pirates fan, so I have hang my head in shame as a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. It's been an ignoble, terrible, terrible plight the last 30 years.
Yeah, and you've not wavered at all, huh? You didn't decide to jump ship, and no pun intended, and go somewhere else, huh?
I don't believe in that. I don't believe that's the nature of true sports fandom. You can't choose it. It chooses you.
I like it, man. I like
it's awesome.
713-780-3776 if you want to get on. We always take calls ahead of texts and tweets. But let's get started. We've got about 30 texts that already came in for you, Sigmund, and a couple of tweets as well. I'll start with a tweet from Corey. Is Le'Veon Bell still a must-start every week? And it says, DeMarco Murray is my other starting running back. Should I start Kamara over any of them?
Bell still must start every week. Maybe he's not number one anymore. Maybe he's more like number four or number five. I think DeMarco Murray should be the center of the game plan on Monday night. So I like him. Kamara is going to have a bigger role with Adrian Peterson in Arizona. And in PPR leagues, I'm more inclined to take a chance on Kamara. But for this week, I'd stick with Murray.
Now, you up for a trade? We don't usually have trade questions for you. Our very first text was a trade question. All right. So it says, I'm being offered Doug Martin and either Keenan Allen or Larry Fitzgerald for A.J. Green. Basically, a two-for-one. Do I do it?
It's not a bad deal if you're really dying at running back every week and you can't find an answer for your number two running back. I think Doug Martin's going to be good. He looked good. And Larry Fitzgerald or Keenan Allen are certainly acceptable plays to go down to if you're strong at wide receiver. But A.J. Green is one of those guys that wins leagues. So it's hard to know without – it's an even trade. It's a fair trade. And I would want the Doug Martin side if I needed a running back. But if I was strong at running back, I'd want the A.J. Green side.
Okay. First call, Sean, you're up. What's your question for Sigmund?
Hey, what's going on in Minnesota? I was able to cuff McKinnon and Murray. So what do you see in the future for them?
Sure.
Who's starting?
They can't unsee what they saw from McKinnon being one of the big differences in that game. And he should get more work than Murray. Murray might get goal line carries, but especially in points per reception leagues, where McKinnon's superior receiving ability will come into play. McKinnon should be the more valuable running back, and I would say this week, you know, he's in the top 20, at least, at running back going against Green Bay.
All right, Lefty on the Twitter wants to know, Andre Ellington, C.J. Anderson, or Kamara? He needs two, and it's half-point PPR.
Hey, I would say Anderson is obviously in what should be a blowout over the Giants, and then between Kamara and Ellington, I'll go with Kamara with Saints in the Superdome, and Kamara's role growing, and he has a chance for some explosive plays.
Sigmund, similar to that Minnesota question, what does the arrival of Jones in Green Bay mean for guys that have Ty Montgomery?
Yeah, it may not be good, and to be honest, Jones ran the ball better than Ty Montgomery has at any point this year, and Montgomery's never had anything like the workload that he was being subjected to, and we saw how he was seeing the trainers a lot before he suffered those broken ribs. I don't think Aaron Jones is going to go away. They might split this close to 50-50 and make it more difficult for us to pick the play every week. But it's certainly for this week, I think even if Montgomery plays, and it's not certain he will, I would stick with Aaron Jones against Minnesota.
All right, which three wide receivers do they start? Cooks, Crabtree, Amendola, or Hilton?
Hilton should be in against Tennessee secondary. Crabtree has been playing fantastic. I think that it's probably Amendola that goes to the bench with Rob Gronkowski back.
All right, Wentz or Newton tonight?
Newton, and Wentz has been playing outstanding, but sometimes Philadelphia will go run heavy, and with Cam Newton's last two games back-to-back, and the way he's been passing against Philadelphia, I'm sticking with Newton.
God, I got to admit, I'm kind of surprised that you went Newton on that, but I trust you.
He's getting some design runs, especially in the red zone. He could score a rushing touchdown easily.
Oh, there you go. Cam or Cousins?
Yeah, that's Cousins, and that's where I would draw the line. You know, Cousins, I think, was playing well going into the bye, going out of the bye. Washington should get some adjustments to their offense. I think Terrell Pryor to have a big game. San Francisco's defense has been really weak this year.
713-780-3776 if you want to get your call in for Sigmund Bloom. Text line Sergeant wants to know, should they be stashing Marlon Mack?
Sure. Marlon Mack was an explosive player. He's going to get a larger role going forward. It can only get better for him when Andrew Luck comes back. You can certainly see him translating on the turf in Indianapolis at his speed and quickness. At least the kind of a flex player, a matchup running back to play with the opportunity to do more down the stretch.
We talked about Kamara in New Orleans, yeah. But what does it mean in Arizona now that Adrian Peterson is in the mix? Is he instantaneously the guy, or does he have to go through Ellington? What's going to happen?
Yeah, he's instantaneously the guy, but I don't know if it matters. Arizona's a terrible running team. They haven't been able to get anything going, and Peterson, is at this point in his career, can't overcome a situation like that. So it'll be great to get a chance to see him do more, but I think at this point, his usefulness for fantasy in Arizona is very little.
Rory on Twitter said tonight he needs to know, standard league tight end Griffin or Dixon?
I'll go Dixon here. You know, Detroit lost track of him more than once. I think that you're going to see Newton continue to try to get that connection going. And he had a few long gains also in week four. So as Newton's been going, so has been Dixon. And I think Newton will play well tonight.
All right, Zach Ertz or Gronk? That's from the Mad Llama.
If Gronk is on the field, it's Gronk. And Ertz has been very strong, very consistent. And I suppose the caveat here is with Gronkowski and his practice status, last week at this time it looked like he was going to play, and he didn't. So with that in mind, I'd probably say take Zach Ertz tonight against Carolina, knowing that Rob Gronkowski, if he plays, can have a higher ceiling.
Kyle, you're up on the phone lines. Go ahead. What's your question for Sigmund?
Thanks, guys. Yeah, flex position, Abdullah, Duke Johnson, or Pryor?
I'll go with Pryor this week. San Francisco gave up a ton to T.Y. Hilton last week through the air, 300-yard receivers in the two games before that. And Pryor is finally getting worked into the deep game in Washington.
Cool. Back to the text line. Need two of the three, Carlos Hyde, Kamara, and Lynch for their running back spot.
Lynch should be in against the terrible tackling Chargers team. And then I would probably, again, go with Kamara in that second spot. I would expect New Orleans coming out of the bye will be ready to feature him. There's a lot of talk that the Adrian Peterson trade was to free up more touches for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of Kamara questions today. It's pretty crazy. Somebody wants to know Kamara over Ingram. They also want to know Wentz over Winston.
I'd give actually Winston a small edge just because Arizona's pass defense has been poor and Tampa has been passing a lot. I would expect DeSean Jackson to have a really good game there. And Ingram over Kamara. As much as we've been talking about Kamara, I do think Ingram, he gets the goal line carries, he gets more touches, he's been good as a receiver. This could be his breakout game.
I'm surprised because I've been asking you about Ingram every week and you've been telling me, no, keep him out of the lineup. And so in this case, huh, it's Ingram?
Yeah, well, and also Peterson being out is an obstacle. So Peterson's touches also, you know, if he was getting goal line looks or otherwise, those looks on the bread and butter running carries. Kamara's more of a gadget back where they're going to use him as a receiver and not as often as runner. I think he's topped out about 5 or 7 carries this year. So it should be more carries for Ingram.
Travis on the phone line, you're up.
Hey. Hey, what's up? In my Deadpool, George Bush Sr. or Charles Manson?
All right. Sigmund, I won't make you answer that. That's a little much.
That's my moonlighting job, fantasy Deadpool.
Yeah, we do have a Deadpool at the station, and we're not proud of it, but I won't make you answer that.
Hey, Sigmund, I got one replacement for OBJ on the waiver wire. I got Marvin Jones Jr., Robbie Anderson, Eric Decker, and Cooper Kupp. Who should I pick up?
Yeah, I actually, for this week and going forward, I actually like Robbie Anderson as the deep threat for the Jets, and I think against New England, there's a big chance for a big game for him and a chance to really get rolling. I also like Cooper Kupp on that list, and I think he's a good play this weekend against Jacksonville. I just think Anderson with his deep ball game has a higher ceiling week to week.
Eric, you're on the phone lines. Go.
Yes, sir. I was wondering, Goff or Mariota?
I don't know if Mariota's going to play Monday night. And not knowing that, I think you still have to go with Goff out there against Jacksonville. And Goff actually played better than his numbers looked against Seattle. So I'm not that discouraged by him.
What's the status of Sammy Watkins saying now that he doesn't think he's going to get the ball enough? A lot of people thought there was a great ad or a guy that's going to be very valuable. It seems like he just can't get any consistency.
No. And I think this week it's easy against Jacksonville and Jalen Ramsey. He's going to be on your bench. Coming out of the bye, and they have Patrick Peterson next week after the bye in week 8. There's Janoris Jenkins and the Giants. So when we get to the second half of the season, that's when it'll be good to have Watkins. As I said, Jared Goff is playing well, and this offense is moving the ball, and eventually that's going to free things up for Sammy Watkins. So over the next few weeks, there's a chance there to buy low, and maybe he might even be dropped.
All right, last one on the Twitter line. TJ wants to know, Denver or the Jags for defense?
Go with Denver. Eli Manning has no help at all. And you're going to see them teeing off on him. And you know, also, the Giants are a team right now that their coach is losing, and it could be an absolute disaster.
Sigmund Bloom, once again, the man with the plan, giving you all that fantasy information that you need. If you didn't get your question answered, again, you can catch him on Sunday on Houston Game Day between 9 and noon. You get there at 11:30, right? I forget. I always get confused. Yeah. 11:30 on Sundays. Also, hit him up on footballguys.com. You can get him on Twitter. They've got apps. We had more trade questions we didn't get to. So go to footballguys.com, check out their apps, and use them. I've used them. They're great. You should get them. Sigmund, anything else you want to plug before you go?
No, just look forward to talking to you on Sunday.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Sigmund Bloom.
There you go. Dude knows his stuff, man. That rapid fire amazes me and how he has everything organized and can just give everyone an answer.
I don't know what he's got, like, in front of him. If I, he'll you know, I'll get a clue because he'll be like, well, I have your so-and-so in front of so-and-so. So you feel like he's got some sort of spreadsheet.
Just one big old list.
And just a search button, right? And so as I'm giving names, he's typing. But, you know, I would guess as you make this list, you kind of know.
Well, you know the schedule and things, but I envision like a trader's screens. You know, when at a trader's desk, when you're talking about energy trading or oil trading,
right.
They have like two or three or four screens around them, yes. And they can just go, let's see, here's the schedule, here's this, here's that, and he can just refer to it. But boy, he is rapid fire genius, which is fantastic.
It's crazy. I don't know how he does it.
Again, every Thursday, 2:30, also joins Barry and Shock on game days on Sundays. So try and catch up with Sigmund Blue if you have fantasy questions. All right, we're going to put that in the rearview mirror and keep moving forward. We got plenty more to get to, so don't go anywhere. Hang tight. We'll be back in a few minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. On my side when I ride, cause I'm ready. I got 20 10 vision in my trigger
finger steady. I'm an underground king, homeboy, not a... Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
And for Tyler and for Nick, Barry and I here rolling on as we get ready to take you all the way till 4 o'clock. We turn over to Fred Barry. In the Blitz. No, AJ Barry.
AJ Barry. Blitz. Yeah, I'm pulling double duty. I'm working a double shift.
About time you make up for all the time you've been taking off.
I hate you. Don't get mad at me because I have vacation to use. Well, like everybody else uses vacation. I can't.
Don't get me started.
Like, now, granted, I don't have, you know, Salisbury, Granado, Hoffman, Fowler vacation where I've
don't
got...
Don't forget Charlie Polillo.
Yeah, how much does he... I bet he negotiated, like, he does his vacation by the quarter. He's like, all right, I went off for the fall, and, yeah, I would be willing to bet that he's... I was listening to him today, and it's weird, the dynamic of different shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was talking about he doesn't do Twitter. He'll respond to emails. There's no way in hell.
He does now have a Twitter account because I see him tweet out just the show information.
But there's no way in hell I would sit here and read emails from the listeners. First of all, can I just also say, if you're out there and you're listening and you're texting today, I need you to do a better job. You guys are, some of you are sending 1,000 texts of the same text. And some of you are sending paragraphs. Text should be short and sweet. It's like Twitter, but if you don't have Twitter or don't want to use it or whatever. So just let's shorten it up. I don't need a whole story. I'm doing things. I'm trying to get them in.
Always so harsh.
I'm so salty, I know. But I'm trying to get them in. I'm trying to get people to participate. But it's hard when you send a 5-part text or a big old paragraph. That should have been an email or a phone call. Right? But Polillo...
Don't try to suck me into your mess.
But Polillo, Polillo says he answers every email.
Yeah, but he's a big email guy. He's always been that guy. Like he said, and plus we all know he has a lot of time on his hands, but he probably just sits there and just in his spare time and with nothing to do and just figures I'll write a book back.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I
would much rather just respond to it on air and keep it moving.
I'm with you, man.
But good for him.
Is it? All right, we got the first game of the NFL weekend is actually tonight. A couple of questions came up tonight regarding two teams with only one loss apiece.
Somebody crazy. Just texted me a middle finger emoji.
You're number one in their book.
I'm not going to lie. That's the best text we've gotten all day. I am not even going to lie. Yeah, tonight's game, finally, a good Thursday night game. I mean, we had another decent one this year. It was a good game. But this is pretty good. I will admit I was a bit surprised to see the Panthers not necessarily favorite at home, but if you look at the matchup predictor on ESPN, it's almost 56%. To, you know, 44%, I thought it would have been a little closer, even though the Eagles are on the road. The Eagles are playing really good football now. Panthers have looked better, like Sigma was saying. Cam has looked a lot better the last couple of games, but the Eagles have played really good football.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Both teams are probably playing a little bit higher than even expectations had them at this point in the season. Last week, the Carson Wentz air it out experience went very, very well for everyone, unless your name was Alshon Jeffries. But, you know, even Sigmund was saying they have the potential to run the ball too if they so desire. You know, they're not one dimensional in any way, shape, or form, and they're playing great football. The big thing with the Panthers is that a lot of the pressure on Cam has been kind of relieved by the fact that with McCaffrey and a running game, they can basically spread it out a little bit more, and he doesn't have to be the guy getting all those rushing yards. Although, like Sigmund said, there's going to be times where he's going to have the a call designed for him to do a run. But other than that, he's not going to take quite the beating that he's taken in the past, too. But both teams with good balance and both teams, you know, playing good football. So hopefully it's a good game because Thursday nights normally are pretty bad.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, like, points, right? Like, giving up. I mean, the Eagles just came off of a thumping of the Arizona Cardinals, 34-7. But otherwise, they've been giving up, I mean, 26-24, 27-24, and their previous two wins, they lost 27-20 to the Chiefs, which holding the Chiefs to 27 is, you pat yourself on the back, actually. That's probably pretty good. And then beating the Redskins 30-17. If either one of these teams' defense can kind of get it together, they haven't given up 100 points yet. Philadelphia's given up 99 on the year, Carolina 94. But, again, Carolina's kind of the same thing. They've given up 24 and 30 in their last two wins. They gave up 34 in the loss to New Orleans. And then, of course, there was that weird game against Buffalo that was 9-3. And then before that, they gave up 3 points to San Francisco. But it's San Francisco, first game of the year. But the last couple of games, they've given up 34, 30, and 24. If either one of these teams' defense can kind of get it together and start holding some teams down, they might run away with the division. And that's saying something, especially in the NFC East. The Falcons probably are going to have a lot to do with that in the NFC South.
Right.
But if Philly can get some good defense, they might have a stranglehold on the NFC East for the rest of the year.
No doubt about it. I mean, look, Dallas has had problems, and they've lost two home games. And we all know how important home games are in this league. And when you look at it, and they've lost back-to-back home games against the Rams and Packers, and now they got to bounce back, and they still have to play a majority of their schedule against the East. And we just mentioned Kirk Cousins is playing better football. The Eagles are playing better football. Yes, it's the Giants. Yes, they've got all kinds of problems, but it's not like they're lacking in talent. They do still have some talent, although I don't know who's playing wide receiver. But look, other than taking, you know, expecting to write W's on the Giants games, the schedule's still going to be pretty tough, and it's going to be, as it always is, a knockdown, drag-out affair in that division. But it seems like the clear-cut favorite right now has to be the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you look at what they're putting up, 137 points, the next closest is Dallas, obviously, at 125, but they've given up 132.
Right.
So, yeah.
And on the flip side of the equation, we said it all along. We know how good that division is with the Falcons and the Panthers and everybody in that division. And the fact of the matter is that teams that we didn't expect to step up or teams that took a year off like Carolina a year ago are going to be there and they're going to compete and they're going to play. And right now Atlanta's got problems because Julio Jones is banged up. So is Sanu. So they've got wide receiver problems too. And we all know that, yes, Freeman can tote the rock and catch the ball, but the bottom line is they are predicated on a passing game that involves Matt Ryan and those two guys on the outside. So we'll see what happens, because the other thing that we're not really factoring in is, besides the division titles, home field advantage, as I mentioned early in the season, is going to be so key for certain teams. One of those teams is Atlanta. If Carolina can get the advantage on Atlanta and make them play on grass, they are a totally different team.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all plays out.
Carolina is a 3-point favorite at home, and money line -150. The Eagles are +130, and I don't bet, and I never claim to be that kind of. I think I would take the Eagles in the 3 points.
Think it's going to be that close?
Yeah, I think I would. I like the Eagles, man.
They got a good squad.
They do.
And their defense, man, I'm telling you what, don't sleep on them, because they get things done. They got some guys that make some big plays.
Now, the question is, the over-under is 44. I think I'm taking the over on that,
too. I would go over on that,
too.
With all the
points that both of these teams are putting up. So, yeah. And, again, I'm not a gambling guru like some of the folks on this station, but
I don't know what you're talking about. Stay tuned for gambling information on the Blitz starting at 4 o'clock.
Me, yeah. But, not who you want to bet your house on.
Barry changes
my info
and becomes the master prognosticator for all games and all wagers. But until then, he's just one of us. Jose wants to get in here, by the way, after the break, Barry, and it looks like he's still not letting go of your favorite city in the state of Texas.
Look, Lance Ford said, I thought AJ wanted a competent host for the day. Well, he didn't get one.
But guess what? AJ doesn't get to pick everything in this world. So there you have it. All right, we got one more still to go after two in the books of the big show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects with a final big hour. And we always like it when you participate. 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Need my love. I know when the hotline bling, that can only mean one thing.
What's this?
Hey,
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.